board at all levels. We see employers raising wages. It is really very difficult to find people right now to fill the positions. And then employers on the other side have the challenge of retaining their workers. So they are having to pay more, and certainly that impacts earnings as well. But this is really a good report and great revisions, too. Very, very positive.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
And I'm Georgine Trinkle, your host today. And we have a busy day in the studio here. We have a lot going on and a lot of things to talk about. So we're going to jump right in. I know everyone wants to do the weather, so just stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hunt and Hunter in every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hunt and Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
All right, we're in the studio and we're starting off with a cold start to our morning, and it's just continuing to be cold all day today. I was not prepared for this. And we're looking at least a warmer evening tonight. Our low is going to dip down into the 40s, so that's not too bad. I don't think we'll get below freezing. It will be unlike this morning. But tomorrow, we have some cloudy skies and a high of only 56. And the rest of the week, I refuse to read the forecast. So I'm just going to say this, cold. Although Wednesday, we see the sun, and Saturday, we see the sun. You really don't want to know that on Friday, there is a high that's still with a 3 in front of it, a high of 37 on Friday. So I'm not reading this. So you can go to another weather channel, because if it's not good weather, I don't want to talk about it here. It's too early for this. But the nice thing is that this cold snap and the layers of clothing have given us an opportunity to talk about something that we love to talk about that's going on Thanksgiving week. So I'm going to turn this over to my guest here.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm Kim Kramer of Market Space Vendor Events, and you may remember when I was on the show last year, we were talking about Winter Village at the Red Mill Museum. This is our second year that we're doing the event, and it's grown in so many ways, so I'm really happy to be here to talk about it.
Well, thanks, Kim, so much. I know we kept trying to figure out a way to get you on the show with all the different conflicts. So I'm so glad you could stop in the studio today to talk about this. And last year was the inaugural year, and it's part of a fundraiser for the Red Mill. People who listen to Hunt and Hunterdon know that I like to try to support some of the local charity events around Hunterdon County. And I took advantage for the first time at the Haunted Mill.
Yeah,
just a couple weeks ago, I took my 13-year-old niece for the first time. I've been trying to get her. But really, when you think about it, there's only a few days that it's really open and only on weekends. So, it was your inaugural kickoff. And this year, I was so happy to find out just now that you've extended your days. So it's the 29th to the 1st, and it is from 9 to 4, which really flows nicely with Dickens Days and something to do. Sometimes you have out-of-town people coming in. What are you going to do with them? So the Winter Village is really great. Is it $10 each day that you want to go? Is it? Maybe you could tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, sure. So if you're not familiar with the concept of Winter Village at the Red Mill Museum, it basically is a holiday market. We work with we have a network of over 2,000 handmade artisans and small business owners in New Jersey, and we really try to hone in on the Hunterdon County area, people that are local to Clinton and the surrounding areas, for them to come out and showcase. So they exhibit at this event. It joins the 10th annual Festival of Trees, which is something the museum has been doing, obviously, for 10 years, which has been a silent auction of trees that have been decorated and donated by businesses and families throughout the area. So if you would like to come out and participate in this event, you can pay the $10 if you're not a museum member, or children under the age of 6 are also free. We're going to offer an option too, where you can either purchase the three-day pass because it is a three-day event this year as opposed to last year being a single-day event, or also convert that into a museum membership. So then you're actually saving money and you can come back for other events throughout the year. So that's something really cool that's going to be added. We also have a living nativity that's going to be there in addition to the over 40 artisans that we have that will be showcasing. We'll have a beer garden with Lone Eagle Brewing here in Flemington. They're coming to serve their German Marzen. We'll have some mocktails. We have a really cool trailer there. There's going to be a Scotty photo booth trailer that we had last year that was just so magical to add to the backdrop of Dickens Days, which is right across the drawbridge, Father Christmas, the horse-drawn carriage rides. It all kind of plays really nicely together to kind of give that Victorian throwback to the town of Clinton and have it feel kind of old world. So we're really excited to bring additional attractions this year. We had about 1,500 people that came in the 5 hours we were open last year. This year we've added things like a billboard that's going to be on Route 202 for the month of November, and just really exciting stuff. So we're really excited. We hope a lot of people are going to come out and experience not just the market that we have, but take advantage of the living nativity, the photo booth, all of the shops that are in downtown Clinton, you know, just making it an effort to kind of really support small business, both from the artisan perspective of the artisans I work with and also the small business owners that are already there in Clinton.
And that's something we really do want to highlight, Kim. And something about market space vendors that I always appreciate is that sometimes when there are vacant storefronts, you'll go in and host things for local artisans. So it always has that nice piece where we're always trying to build on the community. But what I'm really excited about is that it really dovetails into Small Business Saturday.
Yes.
Very nicely. So it's nice that you've extended this a little bit. Again, it's called Winter Village at the Red Mill Museum. It's on Thanksgiving weekend, which this year is the very last time in November that it possibly can be, from November 29th to December 1st. And it's an all-day event from 9 to 4. And is there a website people can check to see what the vendors are, when the brewing is going to be going on, and all of those different activities?
Yes, absolutely. So market space vendor events, we found, is actually a very long URL, so it makes it a little bit hard for people to find us. So we actually now own the domain winter-village.com. So it makes it a little bit easier, a little more streamlined. You can go check out the trailer from last year. We actually had a drone pilot come and film the event itself last year. We've made that into a trailer for this year. You can kind of get a preview of what that is like. And you can actually take a look at the sponsors that we have for the event. A number of Hunterdon County businesses are sponsoring the event, the vendors that are going to be there. And, you know, if you wanted to join us as a sponsor or just get more information, it leads over to the Facebook page so you can see the hours and who's going to be where at what times. So it's really exciting. You can actually, from those links, you can then go to the Eventbrite if you wanted to buy tickets in advance. It makes it a little easier so you don't have to worry about that on the day of. You'll have your tickets in advance too.
Okay, and this is going to tie a little bit into what our next guest is going to be talking about, but it's sometimes very difficult for people during the holidays. It's a depressive time. It's, you know, you've lost people. All of these things happen, and it can make it really difficult to get through a long weekend like that. So I really recommend to people that feel that way to do something different, to break out of your, you know, normal. If you can't carry on a tradition, start a new tradition. And this, this is such a great thing to do. It's outdoors, but you have heated tents, and there's places you could go and get tea or hot chocolate. Or
we're going to have s'mores this year too.
S'mores. And I will say, I don't know if they're coming back this year, but you had a candy vendor last year, someone selling chocolates.
That was pretty amazing. Lots of surprises. Yeah. You know, the holidays are a great time to get together with family, but I was chatting with your next guest down in the lobby before, and you know, it's not always, you know, a joyous time as much as we want it to be. So I think having the two of us here today kind of give you both sides of how to get through the holidays, whether you're taking everyone, rounding them up in the car and going down to Winter Village, or, you know, your next guest. I won't give anything away, but, you know, you'll be able to handle it no matter what.
Absolutely. And starting something new is so exciting. And for people listening that haven't been to Clinton, although I don't know why you're listening to me if you don't want to take my suggestions, come to Clinton, because it really is such a beautiful town. But it's such a, it would be such a nice way to kick off a different type of tradition. And there's everything there at the village. You had handcrafted table linens and world market things and pottery, and really just watching and seeing people sell what they've created and the love that they have for some of, you know, we've had photographers and artists, and to see them, you know, be able to gain success with a retail sale is really
It's fun. An entire immersive experience coming, and you know, we work really hard to curate it on the back end, so, you know, that's kind of the angle that people don't necessarily see, but just making sure that everything kind of flows and works together, and it's not overwhelmingly one category of craft, whether that's jewelry or woodworking or glass blowing or something. We try to get a really nice balance, and it, there's something for everyone. So it's not just shopping. There's, you know, like I was saying earlier, we have the living nativity, and there's other things that are there with the photo booth, and just being able to get around, kind of see the artists that are there, but then also take advantage of what we're offering on the grounds. The blacksmith's going to be there doing live demonstrations, and then and, you know, going over the bridge, because they really do such a great job with the carolers that they have, the actors that are portraying Scrooge, and, you know, just the, it's just such an immersive experience. We're really excited to be a part of it.
Excellent. We're glad that you're doing this in Clinton, because it really is exciting. And Dickens Days is such a nice way to dovetail this winter village at the Red Mill Museum. And I know, Kim, you put in a lot of hard work to make sure that there's a variety of things people can choose from, and multiple types of different artists, but not too many of one kind. I know the endless work that you do to make that all work. So
thank you.
We're glad you picked Clinton to bring the Red Mill Museum for the Winter Village. It's really exciting. We're happy to be able to, you know, talk about this all month long, really. We mentioned it last week and posted it, and we'll continue to do whatever we can to promote this.
Well, thank you so much.
Thing. All right. So can we give that website the new URL out again?
Yes. It's winter-village or winter-village.com.
Excellent. Thanks, Kim. We're going to do a commercial break here because we still have to pay the bills, and then we'll be back in the studio. Stay with us.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Well, for more than once, I'm glad that we didn't have Facebook Live on, because we have some kooky stuff going on, and it's past Halloween. Usually that stuff comes on when it is Halloween, and it's way past that. So I don't know what we are doing here, but we're going to have, you know, a lot of topics today. As soon as we start November 1st, everything happens, I feel like, all at once, and it's like a... I don't even know if it's a merry-go-ride is too tame, but all these, it's like a whip. all of these things keep happening where we have to get ready for the holidays and we have to get ourselves, you know, we have to be perfect and we have to have our shopping done. And we definitely have to have a to-do list with the Winter Village at the Red Mill Museum for Dickens Days. And I always look forward to that. But on the other side of it, we also have things that happen with the holidays that can be a little bit challenging. So we have our next guest who will be talking to us during our show here is Beth. So Beth, I'm going to have you introduce yourself.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for having me here today. My name is Beth Siegert, and I am a certified life coach, and my specialty is people in recovery. So I'm a certified professional recovery coach. I do that in combination of having many decades of experience in threat management, threat assessment, forensic psychology research, and neuropsychological assessments due to the increase in school violence and in the workplace. That's where the last 15 years of my life have taken me.
Okay, and I'm glad that you're here with us and with Kim, because handling of stress, I think, could be something like that around this time of year that is really, really critical. And Kim, you had a home-based mm-hmm. business for a long time and, you know, do multiple things. So it can be really difficult to kind of handle the stress all at once. And you're so organized. So I know that helps you a little bit. But not everyone is so organized or can really manage the stress of a situational thing like the holidays, where it's everyone. It saturates us. So you can't go to the store right now without seeing all of the holiday decorations. And if you're someone who's trying to avoid those things, it gets more and more difficult to do that, to be out in public. Even the grocery store, there's an entire center aisle with all the holiday candy and decorations. And if you're Kim and you're looking forward to a big holiday event, it's not so bad. But if you're someone else, and you know that's what drives isolation, and we know with mental health, isolation is not one of the coping mechanisms that can be really helpful for us during times of distress. So maybe you can give us some pointers on that and help more people to get over to the
sure.
Winter Village when you're having a hard time in the holidays and the holiday spirits all around you. How do you cope with that?
How do you cope with that? That's an excellent question. And sometimes there is a difference between taking a break and being isolated. You know, taking a break is when you're still in contact with people, you're still doing things, but you might just need to fill up the tub and sit in the tub or take a walk in nature and take that break. Isolation is more where you're just absolutely shut down, shut off, not communicating. One of the important things, I think, though, too, to mention is we are not really addressing mental health issues in general, which lead people to drinking, overeating, overspending, which is a huge one at the holiday time, using these unhealthy ways to try to manage and cope with the stress of everyday life, especially during the holidays. And it can be happy stress, too, where people can have trouble coping. We just had a daughter that was married October 18th. That was happy stress, but it was still very stressful. So those are the kind of things that we look for. One of the things that I do when I go in and I talk to companies and to corporations or to people one-on-one is we talk about what do you find stressful and what can we do to help you eliminate or alleviate that kind of stress. And usually identifying it is one of the first things we need to do, because you know, one size does not fit all. You know, you might find something, shopping is very stressful, cooking might be very stressful, having the grandkids over could be very stressful, any of those things. Trying to find a parking spot can be very stressful. Not one of my favorite things to do in the holidays. So I'll go in and discuss with the people in the corporation or with individuals what is it in them in particular that they need to look at, and then provide coping skills. How can we replace something positive? Or how can we replace your old thinking with some new thinking? How can we avoid if it needs to be an avoidance thing? There's just so many different ways that we can do that. We were talking about mocktails versus cocktails.
Okay, Kim, what's a mocktail?
So a mocktail would be a drink that's stylized like an alcoholic drink, whether it's a Bloody Mary or a mulled cider, but actually has no alcohol in it.
I never heard of that.
Yeah, so that'll be one of the attractions that we'll have at Winter Village. But we were talking earlier about that and how for some people maybe that is not necessarily a good substitute.
Correct. It could be a trigger. It could actually be a trigger. You know, I'm going to have a mocktail. I'll have a virgin Bloody Mary. And you know what? I'm going to have a real Bloody Mary instead of.
So
it may or may not be. You know, individuals are different. Just like people, there are a lot of people, we use the term emotional, physical, and mental sobriety. And the thing with that is that some people choose abstinence 24/7, and some people do moderation. So there are different pathways for different people on what to do and how to do. Someone can drink near beer and be okay. Other people cannot. It would trigger them right down a pathway that they don't want to go. And the other thing that we talk about is how that is connected to different types of family interactions, perhaps domestic violence, all different kinds of very negative things that can stem from it, withholding money from people, not speaking correctly or nicely with each other, not being empathetic and compassionate, and what we can do to help people through those periods of time so they have other things that they can do instead.
And do you have any, because we are moving into a time where we see higher numbers of attempted suicides and higher suicide numbers, higher levels of service on suicide awareness hotlines. Are you offering any workshops around this time of year to try to get ahead of this and get in front of this?
Absolutely. One of the things that I like to do is to go in and help families or companies prepare ahead of time and set the groundwork for a much healthier atmosphere where someone's working. Help the people understand that, you know, someone you sit next to every single day all of a sudden is acting a bit, even just a little bit differently, that it really is in a very kind way to ask if they're okay. It may not be intrusive. It may actually be the one thing that person needs.
And it's very difficult. I've used time on this show before to talk about a colleague of mine that committed suicide and the impact of that and the helplessness. And it's been years, and I still wish I had known enough to reach out or, you know, of course, after the fact that everyone always says that would be the last person that you'd think would commit suicide. So I guess it's nice to be able to try to be aware of these things and know that sometimes no matter what, we can't stop them. But, you know, if you do have a coworker that maybe recently lost someone in their life or has a change of life situation, you know, that's where the new traditions, reaching out, do something new, go to a new event, you know, just stop by or, you know.
And it doesn't really have to be something that is a major trigger. Sometimes it's the broken shoelace that will be the final straw. Maybe it doesn't have to be not getting that promotion. It could be a building up of different things that have happened over time, and then maybe a flat tire, you know. And it's really a matter of having that gentleness and that insight to be able to say to someone, you know, how are you doing today? You know, how are you feeling? You know, I just noticed something a little different, you know, and perhaps they'll open up and say something and maybe not, you know. And that's really a very important point you brought up. We're not going to be able to always tell. You know, people say that to me. One of the areas that when I was doing threat management, I was considered an expert in active school shooters. And they would say, well, how come we can't catch them all? I said, because you can't. There is no one-size-fits-all. There is no checklist to go down and say, this person's going to do that. Like, there's no checklist that says, that person's not a heavy drinker, they're an alcoholic.
It's true, but it's the awareness and the we know that there are triggers, especially with children, and there are behaviors that manifest themselves that we know if they go untreated and they go without mental health services and counseling and treatment, and if the bad behavior continues, we know what happens in those cases.
Absolutely, and many times the parents don't want the stigma of having their child see a psychiatrist or a psychologist, which is where a coach comes in.
And that, I think, is so needed. Kim, I know you deal with children. often. And
I'm a mom.
Yeah. You are.
Every single day.
And the one thing that I find is that parents, and maybe you could weigh in on this, that parents sometimes trust their medical provider, their pediatrician, to provide information, but the pediatrician may not be able to assess the mental health condition. So without a coach that may go untreated, maybe you could weigh in on that.
Yeah, sure. I think, not to say anything negative about pediatricians, but they are given such a limited amount of time with their patients. And that would be like saying they have to know every single issue under the sun to be able to treat a child or, you know, a family. It can be really hard, and these are things that can be missed. And to what Beth was saying before about stigma, I see that every day in the elementary school that we go to, where it's just sort of overlooked, or parents will deny services because they're afraid that their child will be labeled, where in a lot of ways maybe getting that IEP, maybe getting the label will actually be better for them in the long run. And then by the time they're in middle school or high school, it'll drop off, or you know they will already be enrolled in the services they have. And maybe by the time the other kids in school are old enough to kind of understand what's going on, that child will already be so involved in their services where it won't be such a label in school. But if you almost deny it, I feel like it's not really setting anyone up for success. So
that's a great point.
That's a wonderful point.
And I think, Beth, too, you probably get a lot of parents that it's hard for them to access the service. They know it's out there, but they have difficulties with the school district. I'm guessing that's where you come in as well.
Absolutely. And dealing with insurance companies is never fun. Especially in this day and age, but they don't really know what to ask. They don't know how to formulate the proper question. We're not taught how to do that. We're taught to say, well, this is what my child is doing, and then wait for the professionals to tell you what you need to do with that child. And if you don't have the correct question, you're not going to get the correct answer. So that's where coaching can come in with a family, to talk with the family. Things like psychological testing are so important for everyone. You know, yeah. Oh, no, I can't have that. I'm going to be labeled. I'm going to be diagnosed. And I don't think people understand that the DSM-4 and 5 or 600 or whatever number we're up to today, it really is short speak for other professionals to talk to each other, not necessarily to label the person.
I think, yeah.
It helps people understand what their symptoms are, but it doesn't help you understand the person.
And we have to get away from that stigma, because people still feel if they accept a service through the school that it is going to follow their child in a negative path for many, many years.
And it doesn't. I'm here to say it doesn't.
Yeah, so it's great.
My children were both born and raised here in Hunterdon County, and now they're in their 30 years old each, and
we never talk age here. Don't you worry.
And 3 grandchildren. So it's really time to get rid of the stigma around mental health, and to really see it as something that we all need to address. And it's not a horrible thing any more than if you address smoking, or you address overeating, or if you address anorexia, or any of the other things that are symptoms of unhealth, in mental unhealth. Not that you're mentally ill, you're going to have a permanent disorder, or you can't work through many of these things. There are people who will have a mental disorder that will follow them the rest of their lives. But if we catch it young enough and early enough, there are ways that we can teach people to cope differently and get those skills. And frankly, parents can't be the be-all and end-all to their children. We can only teach them what we know.
Yes, that's definitely true. And a lot of times they have their own crisis, you know, especially with our very vulnerable populations that may be homeless or low income. Mm-hmm. And you add these things and it's almost impossible. And I don't know if either of you have been following the series that the Star Ledger has been doing about the teen suicide rates and the actual, you call it a food destiny when there's not enough food in an area or access to a food. I don't know what we call it when we have counties in New Jersey that have 0 child psychologists, but we look at the mental health provider rate and we know that it is impossible without a coach or a mentor or someone directing people. And, you know, the end result of that is when we have children that don't get the mental health services that they need, that is why we have this terrible suicide rate.
And sometimes I feel like it goes beyond just having that professional available to you. I'm so grateful that our school district just implemented school psychologists within this this school year, starting in September, we now have three in our district. But I think with you being a coach, you almost, you bridge that gap of saying, well, yes, this service is available to you, but this is what you need to know about accessing that, or, you know, kind of determining the path to go down. Because just because we have school psychologists doesn't necessarily mean that as parents we know whether our kid needs to see the psychologist or when, you know, what frequency. I'm very fortunate that one of my children actually does utilize the service, and I'm just fortunate that I kind of have a background where I know how to recognize certain things, and I do know the questions to ask where other parents may not. So I just thought it was so cool talking to you earlier, because like I was saying earlier, it's kind of that destigmatized, hey, I'm a coach and I can really help you utilize the services too.
Correct. And one of the things about having a coach is that I'm not a clinical person. And if you're looking for a coach, I highly recommend that you speak with that coach and that they have very good boundaries. I have a wonderful network of people that I refer out to, whether it's a PhD, whether it's a psychologist, whether it's a psychiatrist. And I also work hand in hand with, if the particular person I'm working with is working with a psychiatrist or a psychologist, given the correct release forms, I can work in tandem with their mental health professional and helping this person with their coaching. Coaching is where I take someone from today and move them forward on a particular goal. That's what a coach does. So if your particular goal as a family is, I have a child who needs this help, but I'm really afraid to go to the school because they're going to be stigmatized and the other kids are going to see them walk into that office and they're going to pick on them and, you know, set themselves up for this, there are other ways to go. And I can help connect them with the particular people that they would need to utilize. If it's a very simple solution, then I can provide it. But if it's something that really requires a clinician, I can provide those referrals and also inpatient and outpatient treatment.
Sounds like it's just building kind of that framework to help with support so you can get through the holidays and then be able to enjoy all the get-togethers and the dinners and everything.
And one of the important things, too, is if you have a certain sadness over the holidays, there's nothing wrong with having someone you can talk to about that and then go off and enjoy going into Clinton and loving the red mill. But then when if it becomes overwhelming or very heavy, you have someone you can call who will listen and have suggestions on how to walk through that process so that you can enjoy your family, or you can be productive at work, you know, or you can get in the car and not have an accident, you know, or do something else like that, or come back with those huge credit card bills that we really need to talk about in the next session. So, yeah, that's basically what we do.
And that is, I think, that as we have all of these different stressors in our life and life changes, and I know with kids, I have a 13-year-old niece that I worry so much about because she has all these things coming at her all the time. And you don't always know the boundaries where you should be looking at the cell phone and tracking it, or you know, what you have some, you know, parental things in place on it, but should you be reading, you know, text? So it's always nice to have another person that understands that population and can say, well, you should do this, but you're definitely being overprotective, or you shouldn't be doing that. Sometimes you just need that sounding board. And, you know, am I going down the right path? We can't expect as adults that didn't grow up the way the kids today have it to really understand the stress and the pressure.
And what is truly a threat to your niece or to one of my grandchildren? One of mine will be 12 in February, and my daughter will call sometimes and she'll say, you know, Mom, I just, you know, I was looking at so-and-so's phone and this came across. I said, well, let's take a look back up and what's going on and how has she been behaving, and let's talk about it, you know, and let's see, is that a real threat? Because there's a threat assessment and then there's the risk of the threat being carried out. You know, so let's talk about, is it, first of all, a real threat? Is it something to be concerned about? And I don't mean, you know, someone's going to do bodily harm to her, but just, you know,
just
inappropriate things.
The harassment, how that
harassment
can quickly
and that bullying
escalate.
And that can escalate like that. Or is it just basically you were picked on because you wore purple instead of pink one day, and, you know, you do have the coping skills to really, you'll be okay with that, you know, and be able to discern those differences and when you really do need to take action as a parent. And it's nice to have someone who's outside who, you know, has raised, I was a single parent for many, many years, so I know the stress of that and working full time and, you know, a lot of life experience on top of a lot of other experience to be able to help them determine what's going to be helpful.
I think that really helps. I'm very cynical, so my poor niece, she doesn't get too much freedom because you know what people are capable of. And so, you know, I always need to have a check and balance system that, mm-hmm. you know, I'm overreaching or...
I'm with you on that. Sometimes I'm a little too strict, but I shared with Beth earlier that I went through years of fertility treatment before I had my kids. So that goes back to holiday stress too. But I try not to be like the helicopter mom, but I also kind of really have my eye on them. And I don't know if that's just a byproduct of, you know, it took me so much to have my kids. Like, now they're here and I'm going to protect them. I'm going to put them in a bubble.
It's really funny you would say that because my children were very young when we divorced. And I had some friends that would say, why aren't you working on Wall Street? Why aren't you doing this? And I lived right here in Flemington for a while with them. And I said to them many years ago, because I want to know what color their eyes are, I want to know what music they're listening to and who they're hanging around with. And that was 35 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So we all have certain concerns, and to be attentive and to be intuitive, and I know basically everybody needs to work today, and you need to have time away from the kids, and they do need to be able to go out and do things, but it is a very different world, which is why I really appreciate having done the training and having been able to do the training on how to recognize threats. And about 2.5 years ago, I don't know if you're familiar with Gavin DeBecker, who wrote The Gift of Fear, and I was trained by him in the advanced threat management and threat assessment on how to take a look at and have a pretty good idea of what to look for and what not to look for, and to know that bottom line is kids are kids. And they're really going to try to pull one over on you anyway.
Oh. Yes.
So, where they're 3 years old trying to tell you that their hand took the cookie they didn't, or if they're 14.
Your imaginary friend.
Yeah. No, Riley's really a girl. Wink, 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 you know. And so, you know, just to really be aware.
Well, that's excellent advice. And we really appreciate knowing that the resources are out there because they're, you know, how do you find that? You know, what are you Googling, like? You know, to find that it's, there's not a logical path to something that you could really use like that service. So maybe you could just give us a little information about your website and how people can get in touch with you.
Sure. You can get in touch with me, and it's a long one, unfortunately. But
you have to shorten your URL.
I have to shorten it.
Buy a new domain.
Buy another domain and just redirect it over to the new domain. It's SiegertAndAssociates.com. SiegertAndAssociates.com, and you'll go right into our website, and we have info@SiegertAndAssociates.com, or there's a little form you can fill out and send it in, and I'll get back to you or one of the associates. It's usually myself. I like to go through. I'm one of those. Yeah. I like to go through and see what's coming through and see if we can be helpful, redirect, or have a discussion with us.
Okay, great. And you do provide services in, you know, for certain Hunterdon and Middlesex, right?
Actually, I'm worldwide. I have some clients there in Europe.
Wow.
I actually will get up early on a Sunday morning to speak with them if that's the time that they can meet. And so I'm worldwide. And I do the best I can.
All right, that's great. And back from the world to our little bit of country time here in Hunterdon County. Just again want to remind people about the Winter Village at the Red Mill Museum. And I think it fits in so nicely because holidays are so difficult sometimes.
Yeah.
So just being able to have something to look forward to and an event and a weekend.
Something for everyone. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so I'm really, really glad that we can feature this today as well and just remind people that we do still have areas where you can find parking and you can walk around and feel safe and, you know, just enjoy being
It's a break from some of the stress, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, and, you know, going back to having that framework for your family, too, what we were talking about earlier, if you're in a situation and you need to take someone out of it, maybe they aren't comfortable being next to alcohol or something mm-hmm. like that, having kind of a safe meeting area. So, you know, even coming to something like Winter Village, you can really kind of take your family with you and kind of escape maybe a trigger situation.
Well, and there are some lovely places to escape to in Clinton.
For sure.
There really are. And we do recommend things like having a code word.
Yeah.
If you've had enough, you've had enough. Just use the code word with the family. Taking your own car so you can leave if you need to leave. You know, there's just a whole litany of things. We really need to address that culture of silence.
We really
you know,
do.
Just having people white-knuckle it through and, you know, having people understand that when someone says, I need to leave, that it's not, it might be personal, actually.
Sometimes it is, right?
Most of the time, well, I'll say, sometimes it is, and sometimes it's really the person has had enough, and they can't always predict how they're going to feel in the moment. And just be compassionate toward them. And say, okay, we'll catch up later.
Yeah, there's an element of bravery to be able to say, I've had enough and I need to leave.
Yep, and there's a fear behind saying I need to leave, which is why on the back of my card you'll see that I like to help people change fear of the unknown into curiosity.
Well, that's nice.
Let's take a look at it. Let's be curious about why you're feeling that way.
Adventurous.
You know, instead of, oh my gosh, I have to go and it's going to be so embarrassing. Well, maybe not. Let's see what we come up with.
We used to have something growing up that something, you know, you had a lot of anxiety about. My dad would make us figure out the worst case scenario and then work back from there. It's like, okay, well, if that's the worst that's going to happen, is it really, should you really have that level of anxiety if you've already decided what the worst is? And, you know, I think that your services too, sometimes if you're hosting an event or doing something with people that may have some different triggers and you want to be sensitive. Mm-hmm. I was recently at an event and they had a special section of non-alcoholic drinks and, you know, they created an environment for people that were in recovery. And it was the first time I had really seen that. And I was so impressed that someone even thought to do that.
Do things like that. And when corporations have the gift table when you leave, you know, not only do you have, can you give the bottle of wine, you can give a, you know, a sparkling cider wrapped up the same way, or you can give a gift certificate to a spa or something else and let people choose as they go out what they'd like to have instead of, oh, well, they took the cider, so, you know. Yeah. And to teach people to have some empathy and compassion that there are many reasons why a person may not be drinking that night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
They may not be. And if they're not drinking, honest to gosh, it doesn't mean they want to be the designated driver either.
And frankly, it's not really anyone's business.
Exactly. But we know, we know that there are those that think it is, and that's where we really need to be just very compassionate and empathetic and kind. Give people choices.
Yeah. Yeah, and I find that to be really encouraging, not just to have the non-alcoholic items, but to just create this really supportive environment for anyone who just doesn't want to drink and doesn't want to say they're in recovery, you know, whatever, just making it so open with the options. I love that. I love when we are free-thinking and people and we don't label them and we don't judge them and we take the time to create things. So do you counsel on this time of year? Many different corporations are hosting holiday events, and I was hoping that that's something that you offer.
It is. It absolutely is. And now that I've met you, an event planner, this can be much easier for me to do some of the things I need to do.
We'll talk sponsorship later. Give me a business card to put in the bag.
Which kind of sponsorship? No, let's see what program we're talking here.
We could be 12-stepping. We could be...
See? We'll just make it work. And, yeah, absolutely, I do go in and do that. And I do like to be called ahead of time. I have some people that call me like 3 days before an event and they'll be like, okay, well, we have time to do this, 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 and this, where I could come in earlier and lay the groundwork, you know, for them to do that. And I come from a family, just a little personal aside, we're riddled with alcoholism and drug addiction and people in recovery and people not in recovery. And so I've pretty much lived a very long life learning how to do things differently.
Well, I think that's what makes you approachable and easy to ask questions that
absolutely.
You may be, you know, curious about or
absolutely.
You don't ever want to offend anyone with your questions either. So sometimes it's nice to know that you have someone you could just call and ask and get you know, get the right
information. It's pretty hard to offend me, honestly. I've been asked a lot of things over the years.
That sense.
So, and to have someone to bounce off, you know, bounce the question off of, like, how can I reframe this so that someone might be able to hear me and not be offended or scared of me or think I'm being critical, you know.
Absolutely, because we do live in a world where it is, we always feel like we're getting criticized, even when we're not. I think people can be overly sensitive. And then we have people who aren't sensitive enough. So
right.
We want that nice balance. I do have to pay the bills. So I'm here with Beth Seeger of Seeger & Associates, and also with Kim from the Market Space Vendor Events, sort of merging our different things going on in the studio here today, which I think always makes a great interview because it's real. So we're going to pay the bills, and then we'll be back for our last 15 minutes because radio time goes faster than any other time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org. When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Okay, and we're back in the studio. I'm your host, Georgine Trinkle, and we have just less than 8 minutes left to wrap up today, but I wanted to make sure that we got some dates out there of things that are happening. So, Beth, I'm going to ask you if you could mention, you said you had some upcoming workshops, if you could give us the dates and the topic names.
Thank you. Yes, on November 12th, I'll be speaking at BW Nice in Mercer County. And on the 14th, I will be speaking in Somerset County for BW Nice. And the topic is breaking the silence in the workplace. And I'll be discussing and having a bit of a workshop about how we can break the silence around mental health issues and how they then can appear as alcoholism, drug addiction, you know, overspending, and what people can do in order to be able to help those that they believe may have an issue.
And Beth, I know we didn't talk about this before, but often we see organizations that have some conflict within employees, or there's all kinds of things. There could be a whistleblower situation, and people still have to work together, or there could be some bullying or harassment that comes on, but people still want to work at the same organization. They don't want to give up their job because of something that's happened to them, or that, you know, some other behavior that they've been subjected to. Is that something that you also help with?
Yes, I do. I can go in and I can speak with, if they happen to be on a particular team, I might make suggestions to move them to a different team, not move them to a different team if they don't want to leave the place they are. There's many, many different ways that we can work with this, or that I can work with the individuals on the team or the individuals involved. I may need to refer them out to a clinical person. It depends upon what's going on there.
But you'd be a good person to start with.
Absolutely. A good person to start with and take a good look at. I've had 15 years working in forensics, psychological forensics. Happens to be with my husband, and working on clinical and civil cases, criminal and civil cases. And I have a pretty good background on all kinds of employment discrimination or employment challenges. So yeah. I've been able to apply that to my coaching.
Great. Well, thanks for sharing the dates and the topics.
Thank you.
I want to make sure that we get the dates again
for Kim. So, Kim, I'm going to ask you if you could tell us what you have going on, the dates and the events, and how to get more information.
Yeah, sure. So last year we did Winter Village as a one-day event. This year we are fortunate enough to have it be a three-day event. So it's over Thanksgiving weekend, Black Friday, Shop Small Saturday, and Sunday that weekend. That's November 29th, 30th, and December 1st from 9 to 4. We'll be on the grounds of the Red Mill Museum in Clinton. And you can visit winter-village.com for more information.
Phenomenal. Thank you so much. This has been a great, fun time in the studio here today, trying to get everything organized in terms of our thoughts and our mental health attitude as we are now in November, and we know the next few weeks, the next 2 months will go quickly, and then we're always immersed in the January depression and the colds and here in New Jersey and the snow, right? Who's with me? Everyone's with me on that.
Absolutely.
I don't even want to think about it, and that's why I wouldn't read the weather, because I am avoiding as much as I can for as long as I can. But I will say, Kim, that I did venture out to the Winter Village Museum last Thanksgiving weekend when it was there that one day, and I met some friends and visited one of the artists that had a booth there, and it did help me.
It
gave me, the day I went, it was very warm, and it was, you know, just beautiful to be outside.
We were lucky last year. It was a little cold in the morning when we came for setup and everything, but by the middle of the afternoon, especially helped that we had the heated tents, which we will have again this year.
Excellent.
You know, we had a little bit of mud last year because of the ground freezing and thawing, but this year we have floors, so that's another upgrade.
Floors are not overrated.
No.
Floors are
so
excellent.
You will feel like a proper building.
So that's great. So I wanted to thank you both for staying with me for the entire hour here today at Hunt and Hunterdon. And just a reminder, you know, we don't always ask the right questions about the topics around mental health or about the resources that are out there. So the more we can talk about them and not label them and just be open with our needs and our own emotional checkpoints so that we can be healthy, I think that is, you know, really good to have touch points and touchstones, people that we can depend on to do those things.
Thank you. Well, feel free to call. Feel free to check out the website.
I will definitely do that, and we will also ask you to come back when you have another topic or some other things going on to remind us what's out there in the community. We see these reports in the paper, and we know that we're in a crisis with mental health services, and tomorrow, I just want to remind everyone, is a voting day. It's election day, and some of the schools actually have in their referendum money for mental health services, which on the surface doesn't seem like it. You should need a referendum for that, but you know, we're glad that people are talking about it and recognizing where there is an abyss of need.
Vote yes.
All right. So that just about wraps up our show here at Hot and Hunterdon. I'm going to finish up the commercials here, and we will be back next week for more fun.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial Advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heidi and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Three Democratic-led House committees leading the impeachment inquiry into President Trump have started releasing some of the transcripts of the private depositions. Republican Congressman from North Carolina Mark Meadows on the release of some of the transcripts.
You and I both know how this game will work out. They will release the transcripts that are most beneficial to them, make the news cycle happen, and then the damning transcripts that are available, they will wait a period of time to release them.
The Trump administration is announcing new sanctions on Iran, as well as a multi-million dollar reward for information on the whereabouts of a former FBI agent missing for 12 years. The announcements coincide with the 40th anniversary of the start of the Iran hostage crisis. Tensions between the United States and Iran remain at an all-time high. This is USA Radio News.
An official message from Medicare.
It's open enrollment, Fred. Time to compare plans.
Oh, Alice, we're fine with what we have.
Well, that's what the Johnsons thought until they tried Medicare's new Plan Finder.
The Johnsons, huh?
We saved on our prescription costs.
And got extra benefits.
Come on, Fred. Maybe we'll find something better.
Plans change every year. Use the new Plan Finder at Medicare.gov to compare health and drug plans. Open enrollment ends December 7th.
What do you know? Comparing plans really pays.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
President Trump has a message for California Governor Gavin Newsom. With the details, here's USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
President Trump is threatening federal funding for California over the destructive wildfires across that state. He tweeted over the weekend, as a number of blazes were still impacting the state, that Governor Gavin Newsom is responsible for doing a terrible job of forest management.
President Trump is welcoming the Washington Nationals to the White House on Monday. The Nationals are still celebrating their first World Series in franchise history. Team owner Ted Lerner says it's been a long time coming.
They say good things come to those who wait. 95 years is a pretty long wait.
Busy Monday for the president, as Monday night he's hosting a Keep America Great Again rally, this one being held in Lexington, Kentucky. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Friends and family, I've told you about the great sleep I get with my MyPillow every night. Well, right now, you can get a great deal and extra safety. Because if you go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, get their buy one, get one free offer on the MyPillow premium pillow. Your 60-day money-back guarantee goes all the way through March 1st, 2020. That's now through December 25th. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special and use my promo code USA.
Turning to entertainment news, USA Radio Network's Wendy King has the top movies at the box office over the weekend.
Number one, Terminator Dark Fate, bringing back Arnold Schwarzenegger and starring Linda Hamilton, that grossed $29 million. Number two, The Joker with $13 million. Maleficent, Mistress of Evil, is at number three with $12 million. And just under that, the new movie Harriet, about Harriet Tubman, comes in at number four with $12 million. The remake of The Addams Family drops down to number five with $8.5 million. The sequel Zombieland Double Tap, starring Woody Harrelson once again, is at number six with $7.4 million. Countdown is at number seven with $5.9 million. The new movie about African-American cops, Black and Blue, is at number eight with $4.1 million. Brand new Motherless Brooklyn is at number 9 with $3.7 million. And the brand new animated feature Arctic Dogs is at number 10 with $3.1 million. For USA Radio News.
And in sports news, week 9 of the NFL season wraps up tonight on Monday Night Football with the New York Giants hosting the Dallas Cowboys. Kickoff is set for just after 8 o'clock Eastern Time. For more news, you can find us online at usaradio.com or on Facebook at USA Radio. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.